Hey you, good morning. It is Friday, the 8th of March, 2024. You well, you are this Friday. It's nice to be talking to you. It's mild enough out there, cloudy but mild in Salford this morning. Just returned from the park with the puppies. Didn't see a single soul. Saw nobody. Some mornings you like it like that. Other mornings it's pleasant. It's nice to bump into somebody. This morning I was quite happy, thinking to myself, musing on things, as I followed the hounds, the Muppet puppies around the park. Hope you're looking forward to the weekend. Let's go to the front pages of the newspapers. Let's do that. I'll have a sup of water first. Actually, before I go straight to the front pages, just to let you know, the online editions of the papers are talking about the State of the Union address, which took place in DC last night. President Joe Biden delivered a fiery State of the Union address, repeatedly swiping and sniping at Donald Trump, who's expected to be standing against him this coming November. He covered a broad range of themes, the need to support Ukraine and all of that. He talked about the Capitol riot. He criticised Russia. He ranted on. He referred to Trump 13 times in a speech that went on for more than an hour. And a number of the online editions of the papers are claiming that he was stern in his criticism of Israel, criticising the Israeli government for not doing enough to protect Palestinian civilians in Gaza. We'll leave that for now. If you want to read more about that or hear more about it, wherever you happen to be in the world, your national news networks are covering it on their websites. BBC news website, a lot of coverage of the State of the Union address today. But as I said, let's go to the front page of the papers. Here you go. The Daily Mail. Don't leave our country defenceless is the headline. And this again is the fallout from the spring budget, which was announced Wednesday, 2 days ago, by the Chancellor. The Daily Mail is calling on the government to not leave our country defenceless. The budget didn't give an extra penny to defence, according to the paper, which says we're at a time where the world is more dangerous than it has been for decades. So the Mail leading with criticism of the government for not spending more on defence. Number of papers, by the way, carry photographs of Jerry Halliwell, Spice Girl, these days Jerry Horner, married to Christian Horner, the boss of the Red Bull racing team. The papers have had great fun, great sport in recent days, covering a story whereby he, Horner, was accused of inappropriate behaviour by a female employee of Red Bull, sexting her or sending her inappropriate text messages. The latest development in that story is that the woman who accused him has been suspended on full pay. An earlier review by Red Bull cleared Horner of doing anything that was inappropriate or that breached the terms of his own contract. So they love this stuff, don't they? Feminists must be raging. When he was being investigated, he stayed in the role. He maintained his job. He hung on to his job with full pay, but she's been suspended now. So there's a bit of fallout there. As the Daily Mirror, pension pinchers is the headline. The Daily Mirror is basically calling the budget, calling the government even pension pinchers for what it calls a Tory budget bombshell. Millions of pensioners will face a hit on their incomes as a result of conservative stealth taxes, according to the Mirror. It quotes the Silver Voices campaign group as saying the budget is something that older people are hopping mad about. That is the Mirror. The Eye. Labour and Tories refuse to explain UK spending cuts before 2024 election. So the Conservatives and Labour are under pressure, according to the Eye paper, to explain how they will cut spending before the next general election. The paper says that economic experts have accused both parties of a conspiracy of silence over the matter. Well, they're hardly likely, are they now, to approach a general election talking about sweeping spending cuts. They're not going to do that. I don't think the electorate is stupid. I think people understand that austerity on steroids is coming, regardless of which party is in government next time around. So the Eye paper saying they're keeping shtum about spending cuts. Well, of course they are. Of course they are. The Financial Times: Hunt pulls £200 million from councils after clawing back house sale funds. So the Financial Times says that the Chancellor has wound down a scheme providing millions of pounds for social housing, is what it says. You'd have to read the story to find out more about it. The Guardian: US to build port on shore of Gaza to allow aid deliveries. Right. So the Guardian says a port will be built in the next few weeks by engineers who will not themselves need to step ashore in Gaza. And this is to allow international aid get to the Palestinian men, women and children who are holed up in Gaza. A number of human rights organisations and NGOs have been saying in recent days that children are starving to death in Rafah. Starving to death because of an inability to get aid in. And the Israelis have been accused of all manner of crimes, attacking convoys, deliberately keeping aid out of the country. It is a shocking situation. It really is. And there's no point in me repeating myself. If somebody died and made me king or made me lord and master, the Israelis would be threatened by me. You know, they say, oh, diplomacy, you can't be saying such things. But that's if geopolitics wasn't an illusion. You know, if there was any legitimacy to the world order, they tell us exists. They tell us there is a world order, international world order. But there isn't really. We know better than that. I would say, listen, you fire another bullet in the direction of the Palestinians and I will raise Tel Aviv to the ground. That's what I would say. It's as simple as that. You will withdraw to what we understand now to be Israeli territory and you will stay there. If you fire another bullet at these people, we will erase you off the map, is what I would say to the Israeli authorities. But they are, you can't talk to people. You can't, in diplomacy, in diplomatic negotiations, these are things you can't say. Well, that's what I would say. A no-fly zone would have been implemented by me a long time ago, but anyway. The Sun read bullish, so this is about Jerry Horner and Christian Horner. It's that story. Praise for Jerry's support for him. The accuser has been suspended. Metro: I did nothing but show my baby love. This is the terrible but also very intriguing story about the runaway aristocrat Constance Martin, who's on trial for manslaughter alongside her partner Mark Gordon. They hit the headlines last year, you might remember, when they went on the run when she gave birth to her daughter. There was a nationwide manhunt for her and Mark Gordon. They eventually found her newborn baby dead in a bag in a shed. She's on trial, as is her partner. She denies manslaughter and says, I did nothing but show my baby love. She had some of her previous children. Some of her children had been taken into care by the state. Four other children, their four older children, were all taken into care. And this seems to have prompted their decision to go on the run. It's a terribly tragic story, but it's also very intriguing. As the Daily Telegraph: London is now a no-go zone for Jews, is the headline. Say no more about it because I'll talk about it in a moment. The Times: doctors to track patients' step counts on NHS app. We'll talk about that in a minute. The Times front page also carries the story about the US building a port to deliver aid for Gaza. The Daily Express, Brexit is a great British success story worth billions. Who says? Well, that's Kemi Badenoch, the business secretary, saying that Britain has reignited the UK's trade standing in global markets. I think that is monumental bollocks myself. The UK hasn't left the UK properly. Excuse me. It's early. It's 12 minutes past six as I speak with you. I've been up since four. The UK hasn't properly left the European Union, let alone taken full advantage of leaving the Eurozone. So I'll leave that one. The Daily Star, keep your filthy hands off our sausage, is the headline. What's it about? The Daily Star is calling on Costa Coffee to keep their filthy hands off our sausages. It reports on the outrage after the cafe chain cut back on the number of sausages in its breakfast sandwich, but kept the price the same. Isn't this what they call shrinkflation, isn't it? When they reduce the quantity or when they reduce the size of a product and yet charge it the same or more. So Costa's breakfast sandwich has less sausages in than previously, but the price hasn't changed, and that is the front page of the Daily Star. Very good. Okay, Friday, 8th of March. Let's go inside the papers then. And there are some very interesting things in the papers. This is kind of creepy, but then you might say it's just more of the creeping authoritarianism. And maybe I'm being melodramatic when I say creeping authoritarianism. But NHS app will monitor step counts to get people back to work. I don't know why, but when I read that headline, I have images or an image of Chinese people, you know, standing in lines, doing exercises first thing in the morning. I don't know what it is about that headline. Monitor step counts to get people back to work. So Victoria Atkins is the health secretary. She's been writing in the Times. She says doctors will use the NHS app, which they are urging everybody to have on their phones, to monitor patients' step counts and offer therapy as part of a government plan to tackle unhealthy lifestyles and get people back to work. She said Atkins, the health service, would make use of the wealth of data collected by smartphones to help prevent serious illnesses and to boost economic growth. And that's where it all gets a little bit creepy, in my opinion. So we're moving into the smart world. Smart everything. Smartphones. Smart televisions. But smart homes. Smart meters. The government and the NHS will monitor your step activity. Monitor your physical activity to help prevent serious illness. But how far does that go, you see? Does that move into the realms eventually of you being encouraged to take certain measures? I nearly said steps, no pun intended. But that if you are not deemed to be doing enough exercise or doing whatever it is that is suggested to you by the app, would you then be denied access to certain treatment on the NHS? You know, will this eventually lead to the patient inputting pretty much everything they ingest, what they drink, what they eat? Will this be monitored by the app? Will it lead to, again, as I said, consequences for people who don't take, again, ironically, or to use a pun, their medicine? You know what I'm getting at, don't you? You know, this is spying on people, taking it to new levels, really. And we know that the NHS and their big pharma pals are working on mRNA technology and shots and jabs for people, for everything. From obesity, you know, to diabetes, anything you can think of, they're developing a jab for it. And well, they use this data to tell you you've got to have certain jabs in the future. And if you don't do what they recommend or suggest, well, maybe you'll be precluded from accessing certain services, maybe, in society. I don't know. Social credit. Does it sound a bit, again, to use the term melodramatic I mentioned earlier on, But it's all very worrying, isn't it? But this is where they want to take it, and they want to use and introduce artificial intelligence as well, which presumably will be constantly alerting you, you know, that you're not doing this or you're not doing that, or you need to do a bit more of this or that. £3.4 billion they're going to inject into this whole idea. Buying modern computers for staff, introducing AI assistants, which will write up doctors' notes and link up patients' records faster. Yes, NHS app will monitor step counts to get people back to work. So the Telegraph front page story, pro-Palestinian protests making London no-go zone for Jews. Now this is bollocks. It is an opinion piece written by Robin Simcox. Robin Simcox is the Home Office's independent advisor on extremism. And he said the government and its agencies did have the powers to combat extremism, but they had failed to tackle groups that lurked just below the threshold of being terrorists. Now, this is absolutely fucking terrifying. What is going on, right? So they are saying that people who have come out to march and to protest against the genocide of the Palestinians, they're saying that something needs to be done about these people. The government does have the powers to do it, but they're failing to tackle people who are lurking just below the threshold of being labelled terrorists. So this is the reason the government is currently looking at drawing up a new definition of extremism. And we're going to find out what it is in the next couple of weeks when Michael Gove announces it. So there are people saying things that we don't like. So what we will do about that is, first of all, we'll tell lies. We will say that these protests against genocide are making London a no-go zone for Jews. That's a lie. Does he mean the Jews that are attending these protests? See, nobody's going to ask him this. Nobody's going to ask Robin Simcox this very important question. What about the Jews who turn up week in, week out to protest the genocide of the Israeli government? What about those Jews? Surely London isn't a no-go zone for those Jews. Right, and of course London is not a no-go zone for any Jews. Jews continue to go about their business and go about their daily lives. The protests take place maybe once a week, maybe twice a week, but it's usually only once a week and usually only two or three times a month. But we need to do something about these people. They're lurking just below the threshold of being terrorists. But don't worry, the cavalry is arriving in the shape of a new broad definition of extremism. It is disgusting. This guy says, Simcox, there is a permissive environment for radicalisation developing in the UK. He says that activities such as pro-Palestine protests, which he says leaves parts of the capital off limits to Jews, are becoming normalised. So it's tyranny, 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 tyranny. Yes, I know. Because I do so much these days, and I have been for years, so much broadcasting, I bore myself using the same terminology. I can't find a better way of describing it. This is tyranny. They have removed their masks, these tyrants. There's no attempts to hide it anymore. The world they are shaping, the world they want us to inhabit, you know, where your thoughts, where your feelings about issues, geopolitically or otherwise, you know, can land you in trouble with the authorities. You can be labelled an extremist and somebody who participates in extremism for anything you do or say or think. They'll broaden the definition of it. And as I said, they will let us know in the next couple of weeks. The Guardian. Here's one in The Guardian. AI likely to increase energy use and accelerate climate misinformation. So what's this about? You talk about dystopia, right? Listen to this. Listen to this. Christ almighty. Wow. They're quoting a guy called Michael Koo, who is the Climate Disinformation Programme Director at Friends of the Earth, which is part of the Climate Action Against Disinformation Coalition. Jesus wept. Climate Disinformation Program Director at Friends of the Earth, which itself is part of the Climate Action Against Disinformation Coalition, and they've put out a report warning that AI is not going to save the world from climate change. AI itself is going to have a massive carbon footprint, but AI is going to lead or is going to enable those of us who want to put out what they call climate disinformation. It is tyranny everywhere. Every group now, every organisation, every NGO has a disinformation unit. A unit that concerns itself, ultimately, if you want to put it in basic English, with silencing those who disagree with them. That's what it's about, really. Imagine the Climate Action Against Disinformation Coalition. Jesus Christ, like. In other words, a mass censorship mobilisation to prevent people from shooting down or deconstructing the lie about anthropogenic climate change, the lie that that climate change is man-made, that CO2 generated by human activity is responsible for irreparably damaging the earth and by changing the climate. It's absolutely insane what's happening. You know, they quote Kate Brandt, Google's chief sustainability officer. And they're all on board, of course, the big tech companies. We're going to have to do something about disinformation. Climate disinformation is dangerous. People who say that humans are not causing climate change are dangerous, and they need to be silenced, and they need to be silenced quickly. That's in The Guardian today. They want to silence people quickly before people realise that climate change, the theory, is one big massive trap which is meant to keep people living in their homes, eating bugs, of course, never taking a foreign holiday, you know, not having children. I'm not exaggerating. These are the things they're proposing to mitigate climate change, which is happening because climates do change, but not because of human activity. Staying with artificial intelligence, this one in the Mirror, top scientist warns AI could surpass all human intelligence in just 3 years. This is Ben Goertzel. He's a PhD mathematician and futurist. He says it's advancing so quickly, AI, particularly in artificial general intelligence, which is known as AGI, which imitates human cognition. He says bots could soon achieve feats in engineering and science at a superhuman level. He's the founder of SingularityNet, a company which says it aims to create democratic and decentralized AGI, artificial general intelligence. And he says it's plausible we could get to human-level AGI within the next 3 to 8 years. His own view is once you get to human-level AGI, within a few years after that, you will have a radically superhuman AGI. He said a single computer could easily rival the ability of a human brain by the end of this decade. The singularity, eh? That point where artificial intelligence becomes aware that it exists. It becomes conscious of its own existence and then begins to learn for itself and to act of its own volition outside of human control. A lot of people don't believe this will ever happen, that it's impossible, but I'm not quite so sure. And what will happen after that? I once interviewed a NASA genius about it called Rich Terrell, and I said, could it decide that humans are a cancer on the earth and wipe us all out? And Rich Terrell said, you know what, Richie, he said, I think it's more likely that AI would then basically vacate planet Earth. And he made a very interesting argument. And I said, what do you mean it'll vacate? He said, I would imagine that that level of intelligence would want to seek out galaxies and universes to explore them and wouldn't be too interested in becoming the overlords of human beings and flora and fauna and all of that sort of nonsense. He said they would flee the planet. Yeah, 3 years, the guy says. This is Ben Gertzel from the company SingularityNet. Here's one in the Times, Culture Wars. TV mums are too white and thin, says report backed by Meghan Markle. Mothers show on US telly are too white and thin and fail to provide a realistic depiction of raising a family, according to a new report backed by the Duchess of Sussex. Meghan's Archwell Productions funded a study from Gina Davis's Institute on Gender in Media as they analysed scripted television shows from 2022. They concluded, surprise, surprise, there was a lack of diversity on screen, with mothers shown as being young and attractive, while in almost 90% of cases, the dad was depicted as the main breadwinner. I must be watching different television then, because I see a lot of colour on TV. Sitcoms, I don't watch too many sitcoms, but certainly in advertising. I watch TV drama. I like a good HBO drama. It seems to me there's a lot of diversity. I must be watching something else. The report says TV fails to show the difficulty mothers have in accessing childcare. Jesus Christ almighty. Fucking hell. It says TV homes are spotless and the work to keep them that way is also not depicted. And the report found that TV moms are effortlessly attractive. It said these unrealistic standards broadcast a message that attractiveness is effortless and affordable and thus should be attainable for the everyday mom. So these reports, you see, suggest that the average everyday mother is galactically fucking stupid. They're stupid. When they watch these programs, these mothers, they're so stupid that they believe that the effortlessly attractive, beautifully made up actress, you know, that this is easily attainable. Mothers are stupid, you know. I've only got to jump in the shower, and when I get out, I will look like, I don't know, Meghan Markle. This is patronising nonsense, isn't it, of course? You know, do you think our mothers were somehow harmed by watching Dallas and Dynasty in the 1980s and other very glamorous soap operas from the United States? Do you think that they were deceived by it in any way? It was escapism. Television was escapism. What are Blake and Crystal going to do about Alexis's latest fucking scheme? But they weren't sitting there being programmed into thinking that this level of beauty is effortlessly attainable. And this level of spick and span marble flooring and never-ending staircases is easily attainable. What the fuck is going on, you know? Where do they get these reports? Anyway, this thing about there not being enough diversity, that is monumental bollocks. I'm going to finish with this. This is, I mean, speaking of creeping authoritarianism, just listen to this. And this is not, I've read this thoroughly, so I've looked for any semblance of or any hint that the Telegraph is exaggerating this, but it isn't. Canada considers house arrest for people at risk of committing hate crimes. Minority Report, Tom Cruise, Colin Farrell, Steven Spielberg directed, Philip K. Dick, I think, wrote Minority Report. I am tired this morning. I'm keeping it out of my voice and out of my demeanour, but my old brain's a little bit foggy, but I think Philip K. Dick, right? Canada considers house arrest for people at risk of committing hate crimes. Trudeau's government has proposed a law giving judges the power to put someone under house arrest if they fear they could commit a hate crime. Critics have warned the draconian bill is an overreach of power and could stifle free speech and difficult discussions. Do you think? But according to the Telegraph, Canada's Justice Minister defended the measure, claiming it would be an important tool to help protect potential victims. An online harms bill introduced by the Liberals last week in Canada proposed a string of laws to protect children and prosecute hate crimes. One of the suggested measures would give judges the ability to put people under house arrest who they worry could commit a hate crime in the future. The person could also be made to wear an electronic tag if the Attorney General requested it. Arif Virani, The Justice Minister said the measures could prove very important in restraining the behaviour of someone who might be targeting minority groups. If there's a genuine fear of an escalation, then an individual or group could come forward and seek a peace bond against somebody to prevent them from doing certain things. What he really means is to prevent them from saying certain things. Think the climate disinformation units. It could be argued it's a hate crime to say that scientists are lying about the threat of climate change. That's a hate crime. It's dangerous. So let's get a peace bond against the person who claims that climate change theory is junk science and bollocks. That's ultimately where this leads. It's absolutely, it's horrifying, isn't it? I hate to leave you with this, but this is where it's going. It's going to happen here as well in the UK with their online harms bill. They're ultimately coming after anybody who dares to speak out against their plans for humanity. The things they're doing to children in schools, the mind fuckery, you know, the abuse of children. If you dare to stand up and criticise a state institution for allowing it to happen, we'll seek a peace bond against you. We'll restrain you. We'll stop you speaking out, and we'll even put you under house arrest so that you can't come out on the street with your placard and your megaphone and your whistle to say to passers-by, what the fucking hell is going on here? That's where I'm leaving you today. The Telegraph. Canada considers house arrest for people at risk of committing hate crimes. Thank you for listening to this edition of The Papers. Thanks for downloading it. Listen, I hope you have a wonderful weekend. If you want to hear me soon, I'll be on air this coming Sunday with Sunday Morning Melodies. Sunday Morning Melodies between 10 and noon. It's Mother's Day, isn't it, on Sunday? Yes. So that will be reflected in the musical choices. Have a fantastic weekend, you. Thank you for listening to all of my shows this week and for supporting The Richie Allen Show. Until Sunday, bye from me. The Papers will return on Monday, and The Richie Allen Show will be back on Monday at 4 p.m. But I hope I'll see you on Sunday. Until then, bye now.